This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Will Israel send ground troops into Gaza? We'll talk about it today with former ambassador to the United States, Danny Alum.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Israel reportedly intercepting a rocket from Gaza militants, this over Jerusalem. Hamas reportedly says it fired a rocket toward Haifa, which is in northern Israel, in the deepest strike of the attacks from the Gaza Strip. You can hear the air raid sirens in the background. Listen here. Jerusalem, of course, just a few dozen miles to the northeast of Gaza. Military officials in Israel say they also stopped Hamas fighters who tried to attack by sea.
Will Israel launch a ground invasion of Gaza to stop Hamas, and should it?
All options are on the table, Eric. We are going to do everything to defend our cities, our schools, from the hundreds of missiles that Hamas, a radical Islamic organization, is shooting at our people. We're at the forefront of the free world fighting radical Islam groups like Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Iran, and we're going to do everything to protect our people.
Just a few moments ago, about 25 minutes ago, here in Jerusalem, we heard the air raid sirens, and then overhead, we saw what appeared to be five rockets intercepted. And what's important to underscore here is they were all intercepted by the Iron Dome missile defense system. Without that system, Shepard, it is very likely we could have seen some very serious injuries, not just here in Jerusalem, but throughout the country.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. As the situation intensifies in Israel, Operation Protective Edge continues on. We're going to be joined by a very special guest in the next segment of the broadcast. My dad will be joining us as well from Oxford, England. But Danny Alum, former ambassador to the United States from Israel, former deputy foreign minister of Israel, will be joining us live from Israel to discuss what is a big question I'm looking forward to asking him about, the potential of ground troops, that this could go further than operations in Gaza in 2009 and 2012 as rockets continue to rain down on Israel and get closer and closer to places like Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, where sirens are now going off and people are hearing the thump of the rockets. Sometimes the Iron Dome has been able to intercept those if they feel like the Iron Dome goes into effect, if they feel like those rockets are on track to hit specific into neighborhoods in areas which are populated instead of fields. So it's one of those situations where they have to have a split-second decision. We will take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And there's, of course, the questioning by our State Department. We'll get into this in the third segment of the broadcast, about the unity government between the Palestinian Authority, what they're calling now a technocratic unity government that Hamas is not involved in. So who is? Who's the other side of the unity government then? If you've got the Palestinian Authority who controls the West Bank on one side, who is the other side? That we'll get into as well. We'll play the sound bites from the State Department. We continue again. We'll get more live updates from Israel when we come back from the break, and we need you to stand with us. You know, the reason why we're able to bring you these guests back-to-back, whether it's our senior counsel at ACLJ Jerusalem with our office in Jerusalem where those sirens are going off, or a former U.S. Former ambassador to the United States from Israel, it's because of your support to the American Center for Law and Justice that we're able to do all of this work. We have a matching challenge right now online at aclj.org. Where anything you donate is effectively doubled for us at the American Center for Law and Justice. Any donation you make is double the impact. Go to aclj.org. You know we don't do this much on the broadcast, asking for your support, your donations. But if you can, it's at aclj.org. Or call now, 877-989-2255. You can stand with Israel and also help support us. That's 877-989-2255. We'll keep you updated at aclj.org. Be a part of our matching challenge so we can continue the work that we do here in the United States and around the world. We'll be right back with Danny Alum.
All Around the globe, especially in the Middle East, the persecution of Christians continues to grow at an alarming rate. With each day, there are new reports of Christians being murdered, even crucified, by radical Islamic terrorists simply because of their Christian faith. At the ACLJ, we're engaged in this vital issue, working to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned nearly 2 years in Iran because of his Christian faith. And in the Sudan, Miriam Ibrahim and her American family, her husband and two young kids, prohibited from leaving that country to return to the United States. We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 1-800-684-3110. David French, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, is joining me. He is a captain in the U.S. Army Reserves, on a tour in Iraq. And I want to play the sound bites. This is from a CNN reporter asking a State Department spokesperson about the unity government. Now, we call it a unity government in the Palestinian territories. There's two of them. There's the West Bank, and then there's the Gaza Strip. The West Bank is actually to the east of Israel, and the Gaza Strip is to the west. The Gaza Strip has been controlled by Hamas since 2006. Palestinian Authority has seen oversight of the West Bank all the way back to the days of Yasser Arafat. They are often at odds, but there is this unity government. So why are we supporting a unity government that includes a terror organization that's launching rockets into one of our allies, Israel? Take a listen, bite number three.
What about Palestinian President Abbas sending a strong message to Hamas? I mean, you're recognizing his government, of which Hamas is a part. I mean, doesn't he bear some responsibility for reigning in Hamas?
We don't recognize governments. Hamas is not a part of the technocratic government. We certainly expect... Let me finish. We certainly expect President Abbas to do everything in his power to prevent rocket attacks and to condemn violence. And he has made a range of those calls. But we're conveying the same a message to him as well about the need to exercise restraint and de-escalate the situation.
I want to go to David French right now. David, you've got this idea here that now Hamas is not part of what we're being told is a technocratic government. That they expect President Abbas to do everything he can, but that this is not, we're not really supporting Hamas here. This is the first time I've really heard them now try to say that the unity government is somehow technocratic. Is this some bureaucratic term for saying, well, the guys from Hamas, because that's what they're saying, the guys from Hamas, they're more the bureaucrat types, so they're not the political officials, so they're not really Hamas.
It's an astonishing line, really. This idea that, what did they go out and the Palestinian Authority put out, a request for resumes from quote unquote technocrats to come rule the West Bank and Gaza? I mean, it's absurd. This is a government that is a combination of two parties, Hamas and Fatah, that is advancing its unified agenda against Israel. Now, it is true that the Hamas militia is the strongest of that pair. There's no question about that. but we're giving money to the weaker side, Fatah, hoping against hope it won't filter over to the stronger side of Hamas when we all know that it will. So the State Department, which said right after the unity government was announced, we'll judge it by its actions, is now saying, oh, sorry, wait, it's really a technocratic government and they don't have anything to do with Hamas. I mean, this is just spin, pure and simple.
It also continued. I mean, these questions could continue, but is there some responsibility here by President Abbas and the Palestinian Authority? This is bite number four.
But do you think that he bears some responsibility here? I mean, at one point, yes, it was a conflict between just the U.S. and Hamas, and Abbas had no real kind of skin in the game because it was between these two parties, even though it was affecting the Palestinian people directly. But now he's part of a unity government and has some influence with Hamas now, wouldn't you say?
Well, we have no evidence that Hamas plays any role in the interim technocratic government.
Again, David, let me go back to you. This idea, this talking point now. So the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, they are admitting, which many people know, he's powerless in this situation because a lot of this was this forced unity government. But also that, again, this line, which goes a step further here, that there's no evidence that Hamas plays any role in the interim government. So then what is the interim government, David? I mean, if this is some kind of new deal, what's the difference between this government and the Palestinian Authority if it's not a unity government between these two different territories?
I mean, this is a sheer fantasy. Look, if Abbas was serious, you know what he would do? He'd say, no more unity government. We will have nothing to do with a terrorist organization like Hamas. It's pretty simple here. They would end the quote-unquote unity government and go their own way, separate and apart from Hamas. But we're not even asking them to do that. We're hiding behind the shield of this fictitious technocratic government. And, Jordan, you've been to the West Bank. I've been to the West Bank. Does that place look like it's ruled by a technocratic government? No, it's ruled by corrupt, terroristic cronies. That's what it's ruled by, and it's always been ruled in that way.
Danny Aylon, the former ambassador to the United States of Israel and deputy foreign minister of Israel, joined us just before the broadcast in a conversation between my dad and I. And I want to go play some of that. We'll play the entire conversation for you in the second half of Jay Sekulow Live today. But take a listen to some of the key remarks.
Give me your assessment, Danny, first of what the status is right now. We're all seeing in the news about the rockets coming in from Gaza. What's your you know firsthand, what's the status of things right now?
Well, right now we are still receiving many rockets. Some of them are very long-term from Gaza. It's been quite clear that Gaza and the Hamas are actually a forefront of Iran and radical Islamists. So there is a very wide front, and there is not much difference in terms of ideology and operation moves, whether it's CICI or whether it's Global Jihad, Hezbollah, or Hamas. So we are here at the trenches, but the Israeli, I would say, population, which is used to it, is very strong, resilient, and this gives the government the breathing space to really calculate very carefully and methodically what is our response. I believe that at the end of the day, Jay, there will not be a substitute to some ground of operation to mop up all the terrorist nest over there, but I would say that apart from former experiences that we have, the Iron Dome, which we, of course, have been developing here with the gracious help of the American people, has been phenomenal. 90% success rate in terms of interception. So far, thank God, there were no casualties in Israel. Most of the incoming rockets were either intercepted or fell in open areas. We are now in the midst of a real self-defense operation to target the terrorists in Gaza. I believe it will take some time, but at the end of the day, the objective is to bring quiet and peace to our population, not only in the south, but throughout Israel. They have been reaching all the way from Gaza to Mount Carmel in the north. So basically 8 million people of Israel are under the indiscriminate terror of the Hamas.
Jordan, why don't you go with your question, then I've got a follow-up. But Jordan, you go ahead.
Yeah, we have heard now, Ambassador Aylon, that you've got rockets that are now hitting place or going so far as where they could hit cities like Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. This new surge by Hamas, they are saying that they are, now this is the usual kind of talk that you get out of Hamas, that they're not going to stop, that they don't care how long the Israeli response goes on. How likely are we at this point, because there's been the talk of ground troops potentially having to go into Gaza, how likely is that scenario into actually taking place?
I would say that it's coming increasingly clear that we may have no choice but to go in. You see, with the Hamas, they have no regard to casualties even among themselves. They're using their own population as a human shield. The part of the inability of Israeli Air Force and IDF to take out many of their rockets and arsenal is because they specifically put it in hospitals and mosques, and we are not targeting those. So at the end of the day, we may have no choice but to go in.
Folks, that is chilling to me, the idea here, and I want to go to David Fritsch, because David, we know, I mean, Gaza has basically been set up as a very dangerous place, in a sense, it's booby trap. The entire, the locations they know the troops would have to enter through, you've got, children and women and children being used as human shields. These are, in a sense, you're fighting terrorists, so you're fighting cowards. You're fighting people who do not care, as Ambassador Aylon was talking about in that interview, about civilian casualties. If Israel has to take that next step, which we haven't seen since the conflict with Hezbollah in the north in 2006, if Israel has to take that next step and go into Gaza, I mean, this becomes a much more serious an escalation in the fighting. Not that the rockets are not serious enough when they're hitting towards Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and even Haifa, but it really does take it to the next level.
Oh, absolutely. It will take it to the next level. And if it goes there, the international media will condemn Israel. There's no question about that. But we as Americans have to understand that Israel has already tolerated far more than we would ever tolerate in the United States. And if we were faced with a similar provocation, we would have gone in with ground forces a very long time ago.
Folks, we need your support, and of course, so we can continue to do the work that we do. We're going to take your phone calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. We have a matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org. The reason why we can do the work we do, we can bring you these live reports from Israel, it's because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. Anything you donate right now will be doubled for us. So it's a matching challenge. You can donate online at ACLJ.org or call now 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Around the globe, especially in the Middle East, the persecution of Christians continues to grow at an alarming rate. With each day, there are new reports of Christians being murdered, even crucified, by radical Islamic terrorists simply because of their Christian faith. At the ACLJ, we're engaged in this vital issue, working to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned nearly 2 years in Iran because of his Christian faith. And in the Sudan, Miriam Ibrahim and her American family, her husband and two young kids, prohibited from leaving that country to return to the United States. We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. Already been joined by former ambassador to the United States, Danny Aylon, and a former deputy foreign minister of Israel. We'll be playing our full conversation with him in the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. You can listen to that online absolutely free at aclj.org or on Sirius XM. And we're going to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Gail's calling in from Minnesota on line one. Gail, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. My question is the American Center for Law and Justice doing anything to expose the lies in, you know, in all the different media? And can they do anything, or what can we do?
Well, you know, I think we have to be, one, realistic, and so the reality is the media is not on the side of Israel. And when I talk about the media here, I'm talking much more broad than even just the U.S. media. We're talking international media. The way that they portray this and say, well, the rockets haven't hurt anyone. When you've got rocket alarms going off consistently throughout the day, I mean, you are causing serious pain. It's terrorism in the truest form of the word. So bringing you the live updates from Israel and explaining, listen, these rockets stop, Israel's response stops. The rocket stops, they don't have to send in ground troops into Gaza. Women and children won't be used as human shields because Hamas won't have the opportunity to do that. But at a certain point, you know, getting through the facts, as we've done before, we do it on our website, aclj.org. That's exactly what we're doing right now, Gail, on this radio broadcast. You turn on the TV right now to any of the news channels, you're not going to be seeing a lot about this. We realize that this could quickly escalate, and exactly what you're talking about, Gail, could get much worse if Israel's got to go in with ground forces. And in the past, I will tell you, we've represented Israel's position at the International Criminal Court. So talking about fighting against the top propagandist against Israel right there. And we continue to do that. But we have to be in a situation where we realize our friends and family, and David, I'll go to you on this as well. If you just pick up a newspaper and you just read the average news report, it's extremely biased the way that they describe these rockets even in places like the AP. But of course, their reporters are on the ground in places like Gaza.
Places like the AP, the New York Times, others will just sort of say, well, Hamas sent rockets, Israel sent bombs. Like, you know, the two sides are equally to blame. It's like two kids fighting in a schoolyard. When the reality is there would be no bombs if Hamas wasn't sending rockets against Israeli civilian areas. I mean, that's just a simple fact. Israel pulled out of Gaza, completely pulled out of Gaza, and left Gaza to be ruled entirely by Palestinians. And yet they attack Israel from Gaza. That's the foundation of this conflict. And we use every means at our disposal to tell the truth about this. And what's becoming increasingly important is social media. We're getting the word out in a social media presence that's bigger than we've ever had before. And I think it makes a real difference. People are able to go around the mainstream media and learn the truth.
Folks, we're going to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Connie in Florida on line 5. Connie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Thank you for taking this call. Since we're giving this money away anyway, we as allies can, you know, make a statement against terrorism by giving this money to Israel to help them pay for all the damages. And if we think that by giving them this money, we're going to be appeasing them, that's really absurd. You know that.
Well, let me go to David, because, David, we've actually increased funding to this. Now it's being called a technocratic, let me use the exact term here, because it's a interim technocratic government. that is supposedly now governing the Palestinian territories. Not a very effective one because it can't stop, of course, Hamas shooting these rockets or doesn't want to even ask them to stop. But Connie brings up that point about the funding. You know, I don't even know if so much that the funding needs to go to Israel, though there have been some requests so that they can increase the capabilities of Iron Dome. They're not asking for troops. They're just asking for funding increases there to keep the citizens of Israel safe, which includes a lot of Americans with dual citizenship. But David, this idea here that we're funding the enemy not just of Israel, but an enemy of the United States.
Oh, absolutely. $500 million is a lot of money. And what has it gotten us? It hasn't gotten us a friend in the Middle East. What it's gotten us is this unity government that the State Department is now calling a technocratic government that's launched more rockets in the last 3 days than it did in the prior 6 months to even a year before this unity government was formed. So we are spending money on people who are actively trying to destroy Israel and who would do the same to us, by the way, if they had half a chance. So there's no appeasing these people. They take our money, they laugh at us, and they shoot off rockets.
Folks, so we're continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, remember our matching challenge. Anything you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice right now at aclj.org is doubled. So we're talking about a $10 donation becoming $20. That's online at aclj.org. You can also call now 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. That's our toll-free number. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Maria in California online too. Maria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, I just wanted to encourage your listeners to pray for Israel and the members of their military, that they're kept safe, if depending on how they get involved. And also to pray for Pastor Saeed and his parents. Nagme put on her Facebook this morning that his parents aren't doing that well. His dad has to leave Iran and won't be able to visit Saeed anymore. And his mom's health is deteriorating. And I just am concerned that Saeed will be affected by that.
Sure. Well, yeah, of course, the situation there, we need to continue to have prayer, continue to speak out. When the situations become turbulent in this part of the world, as they often are, but especially now, I mean, we haven't talked about, we will later in the broadcast, with a good friend of ours, Harris Safar, who's a spokesman actually for one of the most heavily persecuted religious groups in the world, the Ahmadi Muslim community. And he's going to be on to talk about this new caliphate that is emerging, self-declared caliphate in Iraq and Syria, and how this is affecting even Muslims in this region who are not buying into that radicalism and extremism. The idea here, again, is you've got this part of the world is erupting, and we have to continue to pray for Pastor Saeed. We're doing a lot of work behind the scenes. Much of it we can't talk about on the air. We can't talk about publicly. But when we feel like we have to, we go public with information that we believe is important, and we'll continue to do that through our website, through social media, of course, through this radio broadcast as well. But you know that Nagme is, again, she's getting these reports from family, and she's trying to let you all know what she's hearing. So I think you know that that's a great source. We continue to pray. We continue to work on that situation as well. We come back. We're going to take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll play the full discussion we had with the former U.S. ambassador, ambassador to the United States from Israel and former deputy foreign minister of Israel, Danny Alon. Harris Safar will be joining us as well to talk about this situation, the new Islamic State that has been declared in Iraq and Syria. And, of course, we've got our matching challenge. Anything you donate to us via aclj.org will be doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. This is so important so we can continue to do the work that we do here in the United States and all around the world, whether it's on behalf of Israel's position, whether it's on behalf of the persecuted church. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's our toll-free number. Or make a donation online, and it will be doubled at aclj.org.
We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Secular Live. We're taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to get to those right now as we're talking about the situation in Israel now. Let's go back to the phones again, 1-800-684-3110. Holly in Alabama on line 5. Holly, welcome to Jay Secular Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. First off, thank you for everything you do. I'm always impressed when I read or see on television what you're doing. My daughter is an Emory College student, and she's spending the summer as an intern in the Knesset and has been kind enough to call me every day this week to let me know, yes, she's okay, but then what's really going on in Jerusalem? And it has nothing to do with what is being released in the media here. And with her experience in the Knesset, the full feeling that she's getting is that Israel's government is very upset about having to finally take action. And they're being as judicious as possible with everything they're doing. And none of these things are coming out in the media. And on the good side, it's nice to see a kid who spent her life in the most liberal of education places changing her mind about what's going on with the media, but it's a disservice to the world to be editing the information that's coming out.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a situation again, Holly, and, you know, I'm glad your daughter is there. And for people who are listening, you know, can you be there safely during these situations? Yes, because of the technology that Israel has deployed to protect and keep its citizens as safe as possible in a very dangerous and volatile part of the world. And I would say, you know, as you said, it's very difficult to get through the truth. For people to understand the reality of what's happening, that this is not fake, that these are not tests that are happening in Israel when you see people running. They are running because if these rockets hit near you, yes, they may not always kill you if they don't land very close, but they could certainly blind you, maim you, take your limbs off. And the younger you are, of course, if you're a child, you become that much more at risk. So, again, Holly, thank you for your phone call. I'm going to go back to the phones now. Let's actually go to Paul in Minnesota, line 4. Paul, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thank you. Oh, first of all, thank you for all you do. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for calling.
I just kind of had a comment and a question in a sense. Seems like our government, I think it's already been kind of reiterated a point here, but that we're funding Hamas and all them. It's like we're almost attacking or helping attack Israel, our closest ally, or supposedly supposed to be. And why does it seem like, see, when I get the sense out there and the population of the United States, it seems like they have such an issue helping Israel. But when it comes to that we're funding terrorists, I don't see no problem with people.
Well, you know, it's this idea, and I'll go to David French because, David, the Palestinian sides have done well in this. I think it's tapping into anti-Semitism and tapping into a lot of things that we don't like to acknowledge that are still very real around the world. But this anti-Israel, if you want to call it anti-Jewish even sentiment, that they tap into throughout the world, and they get away with being with terror acts that are not getting truly condemned at the United Nations, as there's somehow acts of resistance to launch rockets into towns and villages and cities, saying they're defending themselves, but in fact they're picking the battle that to defend themselves from. I mean, again, no rockets, no conflict here.
I mean, Hamas has sold a very gullible world on a gigantic con job, and that is that they're defending themselves. And the reality is their goal is to destroy Israel. They're an aggressive terrorist power that wants to destroy Israel, and Israel has a right to defend itself.
Folks, we are going to have some great interviews coming up. Danny Aylon, former ambassador to the United States of Israel, will be joining us. He was also the former deputy foreign minister of Israel. Harris Zafar from the Ahmadi Muslim community talking about how that's the crisis in Iraq and Syria. So we're going to get into all of it coming up on the broadcast. We need your support. You can make a donation to us. Your gift will be doubled right now in our matching challenge. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's our toll-free number. Or do it online. It's quick. ACLJ.org. You can make that donation. We'll be right back.
Around the globe, especially in the Middle East, the persecution of Christians continues to grow at an alarming rate. With each day, there are new reports of Christians being murdered, even crucified, by radical Islamic terrorists simply because of their Christian faith. At the ACLJ, we're engaged in this vital issue, working to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned nearly 2 years in Iran because of his Christian faith. And in the Sudan, Miriam Ibrahim and her American family, her husband and two young kids, prohibited from leaving that country to return to the United States. We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Joining us on the phone right now from Israel is a very dear friend of ours, a former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Danny Aylon, and someone that we have tremendous respect for, especially on issues touching global politics and, of course, specifically with regard to the state of Israel. Danny, first, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Jay and Joan.
Give me your assessment, Danny, first, of what the status is right now. We're all seeing in the news about the rockets coming in from Gaza. What's your you know firsthand, what's the status of things right now?
Well, right now, we are still receiving many rockets. Some of them are very long-term from Gaza. It's been quite clear that Gaza and the Hamas are actually a forefront of Iran and radical Islamists. So there is a very wide front, and there is not much difference in terms of ideology and operation moves, whether it's CICI or whether it's Global Jihad, Hezbollah, or Hamas. So we are here at the trenches, but the Israeli, I would say, population, which is used to it, is very strong, resilient. And this gives the government the breathing space to really calculate very carefully and methodically what is our response. I believe that at the end of the day, Jay, there will not be a substitute to some ground of operation to mop up all the terrorist nests over there. But I would say that apart from former experiences that we have, the Iron Dome, which we, of course, have been developing here with the gracious help of the American people, has been phenomenal. 90% success rate in terms of interception. So far, thank God, there were no casualties in Israel. Most of the incoming rockets were either intercepted or fell in open areas. We are now in the midst of a real self-defense operation to target the terrorists in Gaza. I believe it will take some time, but at the end of the day, the objective is to bring quiet and peace to our population, not only in the south, but throughout Israel. They have been reaching all the way from Gaza to Mount Carmel in the north. So basically 8 million people of Israel are under the indiscriminate terror of the Hamas.
Jordan, why don't you go with your question, then I've got a follow-up. But Jordan, you go ahead.
Yeah, we have heard now, Ambassador Alon, that you've got rockets that are now hitting place or going so far as where they could hit cities like Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. This new surge by Hamas, they are saying that they are, now this is the usual kind of talk that you get out of Hamas, that they're not going to stop, that they don't care how long the Israeli response goes on. How likely are we at this point, because there's been the talk of ground troops potentially having to go into Gaza, how likely is that scenario into actually taking place?
I would say that it's coming increasingly clear that we may have no choice but to go in. You see, with the Hamas, they have no regard to casualties even among themselves. They're using their own population as a human shield. The part of the inability of Israeli Air Force and IDF to take out many of their rockets and arsenal is because they specifically put it in hospitals and mosques, and we are not targeting those. So at the end of the day, we may have no choice but to go in.
Let me ask a follow-up to my previous question. That is, you know, there's been a consistent tension. I mean, I've been there with you when the rockets have come in years past. There's been this tension with Hamas, of course, as a terrorist organization. But we go to the issue, Ambassador, of the proxy war and who's really behind this. And while Hamas has evil motives, they're not the sole motivating force here. Is there a sense that this is, again, another proxy war with Iran serving as the main impetus, or is this a rejuvenated Hamas?
Well, you know, Hamas doesn't need too many pretexts to attack, but you're right, Jay. There is also a proxy here. Iran is pretty much behind it. It would serve, I think, their strategic interest if attention is being moved away from Iraq and Syria and everything that the barbarism that they are doing over there, or even in Lebanon. But, Jay, I may add one more thing here, which I think also gave Hamas, in a way, in their perception, a free hand. And that was the response, or lack thereof, of the international community to the supposedly unity government between the PLO, between Abbas and the Palestinian Authority, and Hamas. It was very much welcomed by the international community, and which very quickly abandoned their own red lines. That is, if Hamas is to be a legitimate interlocutor, Hamas is a terror organization, they should first renounce terrorism, then secondly recognize Israel's right to exist, and thirdly abide by former agreements signed between us and the Palestinians. None of this was even remotely put as a condition or a reminder for Hamas. So once Hamas entered the government, and there was no expectation from them to change their nature, and their charter still calls for the destruction of the Jewish people in the state of Israel, then from a political point of view and atmosphere, I am not surprised that they felt that they can go on and attack as they do.
Let's talk about the unity government issue, because that's something that I've been dealing with in some of my travels over the last week. I will also tell you, Ambassador, something you already know. I've been in and out of Europe now, and I will tell you my sense is the anti-Israel sentiment among some, especially in the academies, is high. And I could go on and on about that. But let's talk about this Hamas Fatah unity government. The sense that we've gotten, at least in the West, is that Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen, had to do this to keep his whatever form of government he has, that if he didn't merge, so to speak, with Hamas, it would have fallen apart. But the fact is, has either one of these groups renounced the rockets and the terror?
Exactly. No, they did not. And in fact, we see here a division of labor. There is not much difference in ideology between Hamas and the Fatah and Abbas. The fact that Abbas and the Palestinian Authority keep teaching in their formal curriculum that they not should claim only Judea and Samaria, as they do, but also the Negev and the Galilee and the whole, my house in Hod HaSharon and everywhere, and there is no recognition of Israel, shows you that there is not much difference in the strategy, maybe somewhat in the tactics. And in fact, Hamas and Abbas are sworn enemies when it comes to politicking and political situation inside the Palestinian camp. And let me tell you, Jay, that if it wasn't for Israel's security control over the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, then Hamas would have taken over in not very much time, just as they did in Gaza in 2007 and kicked out Abbas and his troops.
I think the next question is, how could, you know, right now we have not heard a lot from our government, the United States government, yet, except for saying that they understand why Israel would feel like they need to respond. There's been talk of de-escalation, but the whole idea there, of course, if you use a word like de-escalating, and this is coming from the U.S. government, you are almost pinning escalation on Israel. This idea that there would be no conflict today, Ambassador, if these rockets weren't being launched into Israel. I mean, that's the bottom line truth, is that the uptick in rocket fire from just the last few months, when it really started increasing late into June, and then, of course, this first week of July, you've seen this massive increase. But without these rockets, this conflict is not occurring right now.
Exactly, John. And I think that the call from anyone in the international community to for both sides to restrain is morally wrong and, of course, strategically a mistake, because, first of all, you cannot put us on the same moral ground. We are defending ourselves. They are the ones who target, and they target mostly and only civil populations. They are hiding as human shield behind human populations. These are double crimes against humanity and war crimes that they perpetrate. We have the right for self-defense, like any government, according to the Article 51, and you cannot call it a cycle of violence. There is clearly an aggressive and an attacker and a defender. And also, once you call both sides to restrain, that actually supports tacitly the aggressive side, which has no consequence, not political and not otherwise, to their aggression. And this may actually prolong the violence and also may destabilize future situations with the temptation of violence again.
Ambassador, thank you. I really appreciate you taking time out to be with us and giving us your analysis on this. It's absolutely critical. And again, we've heard from tens of thousands of our ACLJ members here in the United States that are supporting you, supporting Israel, and supporting this necessity of defense, which is what this is all about. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much. And we really appreciate all your solidarity, support, and friendship, which I believe not only is the right thing to do from our Judeo-heritage values, and it also is the smart thing to do to protect our future and children.
Absolutely.
Folks, we're able to do the work that we do and have the relationships that we have with people like former ambassador to the United States, Danny Aylon, also who was the deputy foreign minister of Israel. Because of your support, we have a matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org, where anything you donate will be doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. So a $5 donation becomes $10, a $100 donation becomes a $200 donation, $25 becomes $50. I could go on and on. I think you get the point now. But if you can, again, make a donation to support us, it's ACLJ.org, or you can call our toll-free number now if you prefer to make your donation via phone at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Around the globe, especially in the Middle East, the persecution of Christians continues to grow at an alarming rate. With each day, there are new reports of Christians being murdered, even crucified, by radical Islamic terrorists simply because of their Christian faith. At the ACLJ, we're engaged in this vital issue, working to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned nearly 2 years in Iran because of his Christian faith. And in the Sudan, Miriam Ibrahim and her American family, her husband and two young kids, prohibited from leaving that country to return to the United States. We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Jordan Seculo, and folks, as we are talking about the increasingly dangerous situation happening right now in the Middle East with the group ISIS, who has now declared themselves actually no longer ISIS, but the Islamic State, we're joined by Harris Safar, who is a national spokesperson for the Ahmadi Muslim community in America, one of the oldest Islamic communities in America and the oldest groups, advocacy groups for this community. He's got a new book out, Demystifying Islam, Tackling the Tough Questions. And Harris, is always great to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you, Jordan. It's great to be back on with you.
We will talk about your new book in a moment, but I do want to hear from you, your perspective as a spokesperson for the Ahmadiyya Muslim community and someone who's really has tackled the tough issues from the perspective of a Muslim about what's happening right now. I mean, we're seeing tombs destroyed of well-known prophets, both in Islam and Christianity and Judaism, for that matter, the prophet Jonah, and footage being put up of these Islamic State fighters doing this all in the name of Islam, establishing their own caliphate. Just break this down for people, the truth about what's happening here.
Well, absolutely. Thank you for this opportunity. The actions of ISIS, or now they're calling themselves the Islamic State, over the past few years, and in particular the past several weeks and months, have been incredibly concerning. What began as a militant rebel group has grown through time to a formidable and brutal terrorist organization that has wreaked havoc over the lives of innocent people. And these innocent people are mostly Christians and Muslims, both together. And this group has destroyed what was once a great and beautiful parts of the world. And so as Muslims who believe in the Messiah, ourselves, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadian, Ahmadi Muslim community stands against ISIS and their actions, not only on human and civil grounds, but also on Islamic grounds. The actions of ISIS and its leader, al-Baghdadi, are a complete betrayal to the teachings of Islam, and they're defaming the name of Islam. And the international khalifa of the Ahmadi Muslim community, the caliph of the Ahmadi Muslim community, has been very vocal, especially as of late, on ISIS, on their actions, and the fact that they are defaming, not representing or spreading or honoring, but in fact defaming the name of Islam.
How is it, Harris, that these groups are able to, in 2014, when people do have access to information, but they're able really to take this kind of control? I mean, obviously they're tapping into something that's there, where they're able to declare people who really had very little prominence before in these communities. I mean, just, 5-6 years ago, who now are declaring themselves a caliph, or, basically a king, a ruler over the entire Muslim world. What's happening, and what can people, because we focus a lot on the persecution of other faiths, but the truth is that what's happening in a place like Iraq or Syria is not just affecting people who may not be Muslims by name, but, the actual Muslims themselves who are having to face these atrocities, if they are not in line 100% with the ideology and the teachings of these self-proclaimed new rulers.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we've seen that Shia and Sunni Muslims alike have both fallen victims to the actions of ISIS, who began with being anti-Shia. So, I mean, what we've seen is such militant groups have their formation based off of a political ideology. And this kind of traveles back and even has roots on this Sunni Shia divide that's plagued the Muslim world for centuries. But especially after Saddam Hussein's government is toppled, when you now have a view within the parts of the Muslim world, especially in Iraq and in Syria, that Shias have oppressed and silenced the Sunni communities and the Sunni population in those countries, then you have a rise of these Sunni militant groups who are trying to, quote-unquote, stand up for themselves or take back what they believe is rightfully theirs. And then when they really got their basis, based on, back then it was 2011 when the Syria civil war began, because when there was opposition against the Ba'ath Party and Bashar Assad, it joined forces with people that otherwise had nothing in common. They joined forces against an oppressive ruler. And so what we see is all of these things have at their root a sense or a belief of injustice, a belief of oppression. And when the only role that religion then plays in it is when these people who believe they're oppressed, and among them you have religious people and religious leaders, who then say, yes, we're oppressed, and according to our faith, we have every right to defend ourselves, to take over. And then those leaders then play a very cruel and manipulative role in trying to gain more people into their movement. So instead of hundreds, to grow into the thousands and the tens of thousands, so that you have foot soldiers leading your cause. So this is how we've seen most of these movements grow when it comes to Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and now you see now ISIS, that these are the things that cause it to grow, and that, which is why you'll find Muslims grounded in the realities of Islamic history and of Islamic faith that are speaking out, saying that this has nothing, no relation at all to the Islamic belief system.
Let's talk about your new book. We're talking to Harris Safar, who is a national spokesperson for the Ahmadi Muslim community in America, and has been very outspoken about these human rights abuses, this abuse in the name of Islam. And you've got a book about this, Harris, as well, a new book out called Demystifying Islam, Tackling the Tough Questions. It's available at Amazon.com. Again, Demystifying Islam, Tackling the Tough Questions. Tell people about your book and the kind of, because I know a lot of our listeners will be interested in the topics that you cover and the questions that you answer.
William, this book is my effort to finally set the record straight in a cogent manner. What is it that Islam truly states? It is ideal. I try to confront in a very bold manner some of the more fundamental and controversial issues about Islam that typically cause the most confusion or angst in the minds of non-Muslims. So when it comes to jihad or violence, when it comes to Sharia law, when it comes to problems with free speech in the Muslim world, where you have films or character drawings or even just words spoken against Islam, and the response is riots and murder and mayhem. When it comes to issues of freedom of religion, when you and I first met was on the issue of freedom of religion, when Pastor Narahani was accused of apostasy in Iran, and it perpetuated. We saw that again in Sudan with this poor Sudanese woman, this accusation that there is no freedom of religion in Islam because if you convert away from Islam, you are to be killed. All these matters when it comes to women's rights and even other things like the view of Jesus Christ in Islam or the different sects of Islam, all of these issues, chapter by chapter, I remove the shrouds of confusion based off of not just a personal interpretation, but going back historically and bringing to light other scholars from various schools of thought that have all brought light into these matters to prove that what we see in parts of the Muslim world run counter to the true documented teachings of Islam. So that's what this book is about. It's not an interpretive book just to advocate for one specific belief system. What I do is I confront, here are what these militants believe in, here are what these other governments do and believe in, here's their justification, and then I systematically destroy their arguments using using the Quran and the example of the Prophet Muhammad.
Folks, you can get the book again at Amazon.com by Harris Safar, and it's called Demystifying Islam, Tackling the Tough Question. Harris, as always, great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
That does it for the show today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.